Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for hanging around with me today, and it's great to be with you. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. If I sound a little bit different today, it's because, no, I'm not on the road. It's just that I've got a little bit of a hoarseness today, and it'll come and go a little bit. It doesn't hurt, so don't worry. If it sounds like it hurts, it doesn't. Probably sounds worse in my head with the headphones on than it does over the air. But I'll let you be the judge of that. Dan Dander is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's an old friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's Executive Vice President of Public Policy and Political Issues at the National Federation of Independent Business, an organization I've been a member of for over 15 years. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Good to be here.
It's good to have you back, as always. And Dan, we had a big event last night in Washington, D.C., didn't we?
Yes, sir.
Tell the audience about it.
Well, the President's State of the Union address, and as always, we're looking for things that are important to small business in there, and I think there were some significant ones, Jim.
Well, he actually did say the words small business at least once, maybe more, and the previous president, I listened to every State of the Union speech he gave, every single one, all eight, and not once did he use the words small business.
No, this president understands and cares about small business, and it's in pretty much all of his speeches.
Yeah, I've heard him mention it more than last night, but he did talk about things. He talked about some things that are important to small business, and he left out a couple of things that I wish he'd hit a little bit harder that are important to small business, which you and I are going to talk about. One of the things he talked about last night was making the tax cuts permanent.
Absolutely. And the tax cuts over the last couple of years, the lowering in rates, which go to right to the bottom line of a lot of small businesses, there was an increase in expensing, which a lot of small businesses use.
And, oh, yeah. The 179 expensing.
A big one for us is the permanent and total repeal of the death tax, and
absolutely.
We sure hope that stays in there.
Well, what's the status of that? When is that? It sunsets in 2009, right?
Yes, 2010.
It phases down to 2010,
and then
the next year it comes back 100%.
Yes, sir. It comes back in a year, which is
only U.S. Congress could do that with a straight face.
It is really an odd way to do things, and so hopefully sometime between now and then we can get it made total and permanent, and that's certainly our objective.
Right, and so that's the one the death tax. That's one of the biggies. Another biggie on the tax cut side is the capital gains and dividends taxes.
Yes, sir. And they are both they both expire, I believe, at the end of 2008.
Yeah.
Both of the lowering of both of those to 15%.
Right.
And certainly our hope that they would both be extended and made permanent as well.
Has the NFIB done any research on the impact, the revenue generation that the capital gains has created for the government?
We have some. Where you get into arguments over Washington speak again, static and dynamic scoring and how you count that.
Right.
We certainly believe, and I think most of the small business people believe it has had an impact, but it's really hard to come up with what the exact number might be.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, isn't the government taking in record revenue right now?
They are, correct.
I mean, what is that? I mean, you don't have to be an economist to see that.
Well, the economy, as you know, has been growing pretty consistently for the last 2 to 3 years. And,
right.
and so that's a good thing. Some things are working.
Well, one of the things we know is the government makes money when people buy and sell stuff.
That's right.
And when the tax on selling something is a major factor in the decision to sell and becomes an overriding factor in the decision to sell, then there's less buying and selling and less government revenue. Have I oversimplified that too much, Dan?
We need you here to explain that to some of the members of Congress.
I have before, but I don't think they get it. Dan, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Dan Danner is our guest. He's Executive Vice President of the National Federation of Independent Business. It's 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And Dan Danner is our guest. He's Executive Vice President of with the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. Dan, several years ago, your organization led the charge in trying to sunset the IRS tax code.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to see you guys get that going again.
Boy, we would too.
Where are we with that?
Well,
by the way, I was driving one of the wagons in that charge too.
I know you were, Jim. I think one of the things we found out is doing anything with the tax code in Washington is incredibly difficult. We would still like to do that. I think in the interim, we spent more time and effort trying to cut taxes on small businesses in things like expensing and rates and death tax. But if there was an opportunity to get rid of the code and start over, we would sure like to do that still.
Well, the tax code, what a lot of people don't realize is the tax code is it's the drug of choice for politicians, isn't it?
Absolutely. Everybody's got something in there, and when you talk about changing it, it usually ends up to sort of, well, change everything except don't change my part.
Well, if all of the little tools and gadgets that an incumbent can use to get reelected were put into a bag, you know, a little tool bag, about 80% of them would be tax related, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
It'd have some kind of an IRS tax code construct, wouldn't it?
And all the problems about lobby reform, a lot of those would go away because you wouldn't need very many lobbyists.
Our friend Steve Forbes has written a book about the flat tax. As you know, he was always one of the proponents of flat tax, but he's got a book out now on flat tax. And what's the NFIB's position on flat tax?
We have always supported a fairer, flatter tax, and beyond that, it depends upon exactly what you're talking about. But I mean, most small businesses would love the kind of one-page, one-form, easy-to-understand, no gimmicks tax. So
right.
we would like something like that.
Well, and also, I would hope that you would not be for a national sales tax, because all that does is add a new tax and doesn't take away another one.
That's certainly the biggest concern. How can you get from here to there? How can you add one tax if you aren't guaranteed
right.
that you could get rid of the current tax?
Right, exactly. That's one of the problems. Let's move down and talk about health care.
Yes,
sir. The president mentioned HSAs. Now, this is a big issue. You guys basically earned your bones back in the 90s fighting universal health care, didn't you?
Yes, we did, the so-called Hillary care.
Absolutely. And the president talked about something called HSAs, health savings accounts, last night, which we've talked about quite a bit on this show before.
I know you have. And you know, one of the – we have been and are very supportive and involved trying to help – health savings accounts. We actually are helping lead a coalition here in Washington to do that. And one of the things there, some of the things the president's talked about were new tax benefits to make health savings accounts more attractive and ways to make them portable so that if you had an account at one job and you move, you could take that with you.
Well, and exactly. And this is all part of the Ownership Society initiative that I certainly agree with, Dan, because it's just so important that in the 21st century, you and I become more healthcare consumers rather than healthcare patients.
Yes, sir.
And you know, I think it's important for people to understand what healthcare costs are and to be able to make educated decisions in purchasing their healthcare.
Right, exactly. And what we've done in the past is that the policies that have been available have been designed so that one size fits all when we really need something a little more customized for everybody, don't we?
We do, and we need to give small businesses the same kind of tax benefits, the same kind of opportunities that employees of large businesses have.
And he said that last night. The president said that last night specifically.
And certainly that's something that we're working with them on every day.
Here's what was interesting to me. It was very telling. And I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, folks. You had to notice this. When he said what you just said, small businesses deserve the right to be able to buy health insurance the same way major corporations do and unions do, the Republicans stood up and cheered that. The Democrats sat on their hands. Now, what does that mean, Dan? Does that mean that Democrats don't care about small business?
Well, you know, I don't know for sure. I think
did you notice that?
I did. I think for a certain number of them, what that means is that they would prefer government-run, government-controlled health care.
Well, I'll tell you, that was we got to take a break. I'll let you comment a little more on that when we come back. But that was a very telling and I think an unfortunate moment for the Democrats to take that position. When we come back, I'm going to ask Dan, what's the NFIB doing about some of these initiatives the president wants to get passed in the next year or two? It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. It seems so good. Dan Danner is our guest. He's executive vice president with the National Federation of Independent Business. Dan, give us that website, please.
NFIB.com.
Very easy. And folks, as you've heard me say now for over 8 years, I've been a member of the NFIB since about 1990, I think. So I'm probably approaching 16 years, Dan, as a member of your organization. And I tell my audience all the time, it's one of the best investments I make every year.
Well, we appreciate that.
Well, and for the good work that you do, Dan, for representing small businesses so well, you individually as well as your organization, helping to keep the government out of our way as much as possible. On behalf of my audience, Dan, we thank you for that.
Well, we thank you for your support.
I was talking as we went to the break about the health savings accounts, and the another one that he didn't mention was the association health plans. Is that dead? Is that dead? That issue.
No, it's not dead. Actually, there's more going on now than there has been in a long time.
Tell the audience what an AHP is.
Association health plan or small business health plan would allow associations to group together across state lines and offer a product or product in all 50 states. And what that gives you are economies of scale and buying clout.
Right.
And administrative savings. So hopefully you can offer a better product at lower cost to small businesses all across the country.
But there are 50, there are at least 50 opponents of that, and they're all state insurance secretaries or whatever directors of the state insurance departments for each of the states, aren't there?
Well, they each have their own little fiefdom in their state. Right now, insurance in the small group market, where most of small businesses purchase, are run by the individual states. And they all have their own bureaucracies and their own red tape. And that's one of the reasons this would save money. And once again, it's allowing small businesses to do what large corporations do.
Right. Well, the president mentioned that. Now, is the do you think the individual ability to buy across state lines will precede the association ability?
I don't know. I mean, obviously,
we wouldn't care, though, would we? Because that'd be a good trail to blaze, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's the same concept. If you could, you could buy health insurance from Ohio, and it was a better product at lower cost than you have at home, then that'd be a great thing.
Absolutely. Well, this is one of the last frontiers, Dan, of getting the playing field level for small business is getting it to where we can compete for benefits for our employees.
Absolutely. And, and you know, benefits today, healthcare today is increasingly just as important as salary.
It's the number one concern for small business right now.
No question.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Dan, in a couple of minutes to go, what's the NFIB doing about this, all this? What are some of the specific initiatives you guys have undertaken to address some of the issues the president talked about regarding small business?
Well, we are, on the association health plans, we're leading a coalition. We have a web page. We are making progress, finally, in the Senate. We expect to have a markup in Senator Enzi's health committee in the next couple weeks. And we believe we could have a vote on the Senate floor sometime in March.
Hasn't this already passed the House 7 or 8 times?
8 times.
Yeah. It never has passed the Senate. You think we can? Are you saying that you think AHPs are possible in 2006?
They are possible.
Yeah.
And I think that we will have a vote on the Senate floor, and we'll do our best to rally small businesses from all across the country to let their senators know how important it is.
About when do you think that might happen?
Predicting the Senate is always difficult, but we hope sometime in late March.
Okay. Well, I want you to be back on the show or send somebody to be back on the show prior to that so we can tell our members where it stands, what the bill is, and so we can call our senators and tell them we want this.
We would love to do that, Jim.
All right. Give us the website again, Dan.
NFIB.com.
They can join right online, can't they?
Absolutely.
Folks, I hope you'll take advantage of that. The NFIB does good work, and you can tell that by listening to our good friend Dan Danner, Executive Vice President there for Public Policy at the NFIB. Thanks, Dan, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Jim, thanks. Always great to be with you.
Okay, you too. See you, buddy. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back on the other side of the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.